Basically, just to give everyone a quick overview of where my head's at and where we as a body, what we are planning is. Last week we came together, the cell leaders, on Tuesday, and we had a precious time together. We were speaking about our home groups as we're meeting, making plans to really invite people into our lives, making our lives more transparent, inviting people into our space. And this Tuesday, that announcement that was on is for the whole church. So cell leaders, if you're here, please invite everyone. We want the sum of the church there. And we're going to sit down and we're going to have a bit of dialogue. We're going to speak about good, proper strategy for cell groups this year. And we want to add to the gifts of God and the way the Spirit works in us and through us. We want to add also a plan that God can put in us. And therefore, we want to work a bit more systematically, especially in the beginning of the year where there's a lot of new people working in Cape Town, students moving to Cape Town, people changing jobs. And this is an opportunity that we should not miss. And it's because of that reason, the way we are aiming, that I'm going to strategically also, the next two sermons, aim in that way to help us. Next week, you're doing also Etienne's baby dedication on that side in the afternoon. So I'm preaching Sunday night again. So the two sermons, it's going to be almost like a mini-series. All right? So it's lovely to have you here, and I hope to see you here next week again. Now, we were speaking a lot about gifts and working together. Like, who are you? You're different than me. If we can maybe find it out a bit more about one another, we can do better when we work together. All right? That's what the Bible says. Everyone knows it. If there's a bully in the school, okay, and you want to approach him, you take your friend with, and you two. And one take him from behind and one from front. Okay? So that's what we want to do this year. We want to take ground for the kingdom of God. And I want my heart, and I know it's also the heart of God, is for everyone in this congregation to play a meaningful part. Because we're going to see now in the scripture, it's God's will that all of us take part, but it's also that by God's grace that you've got something special that God has imparted in you. And that gift that's in you, we want to use this year. Because I believe as Christians, when we start moving in what God has placed in us, it's where we become meaningful Christians and something happens to our joy. Something happens to our friendships, positive. Something happened to our marriages. We heard last year also from Richard and Annelies, awesome testimony of how the first few months in their marriage, they thought, oh, well, you know what, we must now take a year break. And Annelies' words was, after 4 months, I thought about divorce. But now, since we're back in the ministry, praying together, working together, it's like our marriage is the most amazing thing. And it works that way with our lives. Because you know what? God has designed you for himself. Not for anything else but to glorify him. And when we take a step closer in that direction, our life starts coming together. Things make sense. Amen? So, I'm going to speak about gifts. Spiritual gifts that God blesses us with this week and next week, but mostly next week, because you know what? It's so important when it comes to spiritual gifts that we've got the right heart, the right attitude, and the right knowing of how to put it together, that we cannot run into something like this foolishly, because we know what happens. When we talk about big names around the world, there's always stories. There's always a misuse of gifts. There's always manipulation in there. There's always, what can I get out of it? And the same with the gifts of God. There's always a right way, God's way of approaching this. And there's a wrong way. And let's learn tonight from Scripture so that even this week as we're going to go start to encourage one another, that we know that we move from the right place. Does that make sense? So follow with me as we read in Romans 12. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses nice and slow. And please follow with me. Yeah, if you want to open your Bible, I'll just give you a second. But it will be there on the screen as well. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. And the one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And here's a good one. Outdo one another in showing honor. How do you do that? Tiens, you're the best.
Donkey.
No. Now you must say, you're the best.
Sorry, you're the best.
No, you're the best. You know, it's something like that. It can go on for long. But sorry, I deep-ended them there. But you get the idea. Any guys. I'm just going to jump one or two jumps before we get to the gifts. And I'm sure you will enjoy this. Can I just pray for a second? Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Tonight, Lord, it's not just me that's dependent on you, Lord, but it's all of us. Tonight, all of us, Lord, wants to experience your truth being made known to us, Lord. And we ask tonight, just where you're sitting, just ask God, Lord, show me the will of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that anything that is not from you, Lord, anything that we miss tonight, anything that I miss, Lord, will just fall away and will not fall in hearts, Lord. But your will be done and your kingdom come. Can we go to verse 4? We're going to be farming in the scriptures a bit. For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You'll see there, I put emphasis on the body. One second. Okay, we're going on to gifts, but now Paul, he's setting the table for speaking about the gifts. And before he gets there, he says, we are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Just quickly, when Paul says body, normally he can speak about one of two things. Just on my computer, I'll put it in here. In Ephesians 1 verse 22, verse 23, Paul writes, he says, and he put all things, you can just listen to me, under his feet and gave him, Jesus, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He says, the head over all things, the church. And in that sense, Paul is meaning every single believer in the whole world. And every single church in the whole world. Every single human that believes in God. Christ is head of that. It's what we call the universal body or the invisible body. Alright? Now many people will say, they won't go to church, so they'll say, no, I am a part of the body of Christ because I serve Christ. And you know what? They're right. But they've got half the story, because in other instances, Paul refers to the body of Christ as a local body. Very specifically. Like in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27. It's not on there if you want to write it down. 12 verse 27. 1 Corinthians. It says, now you are the body of Christ. Individually and members of it. That's called the local body. So it's very important to know that when Paul says the body, it might be, and I think so, that in this instance he's speaking to the Romans specifically, because he's going through great length to explain to them things, and they say, you are one body. So first thing, we must see this here as a body of Christ, a local body, not the universal body. We don't say if you're not in this church, you're not a part of God. No, no, no. We believe there's many Christians around the world. But this is a local body, which means between us, there's certain things that should happen. There should be a balance in us, and we'll learn from that balance just now. And we should reflect God in a certain way. And when He looks on us, He sees us as a body. And maybe it's good news or bad news, but in one way, every person that's a leader in this church is supposed to help this body to function. It starts with Tiens and me. I'm sure we'll be accountable. And also every leader, so that we can reflect the bride of Christ. But just those two things. We've got the universal body and the local body. Everyone with me? So he says, one body in Christ. Now, just the next verse there, the same verse, just the next word. It says, are one body in Christ. Now, this is interesting. It's actually a very loaded scripture. It says, in Christ we are one body. And what that means is we are woven together by one man, Christ. Now, because Leon is following Christ, and she's a daughter of Christ, and I'm following Christ, it makes us brother and sister, because we are in Christ. And that unity cannot be broken. And that's a simple reason why believers should get along. Christ is the one that calls people into relationship with Himself, so that we can be in relationship with one another. Secondly, that's why you're here in this church. That's why you and I should not be hopping between five churches. Christ is woven together a local body and also a universal body. But now, not only are we in relationship with Christ, there's a massive thing that comes with us in Christ. You've heard the verse where it says, you have the mind of Christ, right? And it says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Suddenly, because you and I are in Christ, there is just masses and masses of blessings that's available to us because it's in Christ. Think about it. Grace, the grace by which you have been saved. Did you know that you can give that same kind of grace to another human being? The love that is bestowed on you by Christ, in Christ, you can share that love with a friend. When you're a believer, the forgiveness by which you have been forgiven means that you can forgive in the same way. Hey, Fred. Amen. We heard his testimony. There's just massive, massive blessings. Almost everything in Christ and about Christ, we are blessed with that. It makes us a very powerful unit. On our own, not so much, but when we come together as one body, in that Christ, we become a danger for the enemy. There is one thing, just by the way, that we don't share with Christ, and we never will, and that's His deity. We cannot be everywhere. He is everywhere. He's all powerful. We're not. But when it comes to the blessing, the nature of Christ, and everything He does, we are sharing in that. And He brings us together. Amen? I'm just building a foundation here before we move on to gifts. Now, just the very next two words. So he says, you are many, one body in Christ. See that picture, woven together. And then he says, and individually, members of one another. Let's go on to verse 6. Thanks, Rudolph, there at the back for your great help always. You're a real blessing. Check this out. He was speaking about the body. Now he goes over to us as individuals. And he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us, let us use it. You know what Paul is saying? He's for a moment turning away from the body, this team, this mean green machine, okay? The Springboks. Okay? He's moving away from that. To this thing that works with gadgets. And he says, but remember, each of you have received specific graces. And that is all of us. You know what this verse actually says? It says that if you are saying today, you know what, I'm not really someone, that you are in a way giving God a little slap in the face. I'm saying it very straight, but I want to say it. Because I want to tell you, you've got something to give. Because the Bible says it. Not some other motivational speaker that says, if you dream it, you can do it. That's not true, by the way. Because if your dream is a sucky dream, then you mustn't do it, okay? But if your dream is from Christ, yes, do it. You know, you get these big rugby players. They come to you. You know what? You could do anything you want to do. Then there's this little chokerki. You know, he wants to be the Springbok slot. It's never going to happen. But if you can dream it, you can do it. Not true. Not true. If you've got your heart and your dreams and you offer it to Christ, man, everything is possible. Everything. My point is, you are valuable. Now, let's just reverse again to the previous verse, Rudolph. Thank you. Individually, members of one another. Now, although you are an individual, and the world loves this, I am so special, I can paint like no one. I can run faster than anyone. I must be special. And the world wants to teach us to the whole time separate ourselves from other people because we are better. We are on this little pedestal. And don't you tell me. Paul's got a different idea. He says, individually, we are members of one another. You know who Lindsay is? She's a part of me. You know who I am? I'm a part of Tiens. All of us sitting here under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to someone. We belong to each other. We are woven together into Christ. So there's this two sides of individuality that we must balance with care. Yes, you've got special gifts, but it's for me. Amen? Now, I would say, well, this was my favorite quote of the week. I ran into Tien's office. I found this. I would say, this is one to write down. True individuality is only found and discovered in a serving relationship with the body of Christ. That is where you will find yourself. If you come with your individuality, with your personality, with your gifts, and you submit it so that it can be used for the benefit of His kingdom under the authority of leadership in the presence of friends, you will find yourself. I've never met a person that's been serving in the church for years that don't know who he is. I've seen people carrying speakers, and it looks like they're most basically they know exactly who they are. They've bought their gift, they're doing their thing, they're waxing the place, and they're submitting their gifts. Because maybe their gift is serving, and it's a gift in that list, the gift of the Father. This will save you and me a lot of sweat if we know that we will be found in relationship. Amen. We're still leading on to gifts, but I'm sure you'll start to see what I'm doing here. I'm giving you an idea what the body is. I'm giving you the idea of what in Christ means. That's where the gifts come from, right? And now we're talking about individuals coming together with what they got. You know, the individual never, when it comes to Christ, never, ever, ever is a Christian called to shine light on himself. We know that. Right? But it's just good to say it. Never ever will God use your gift to shine a light on you. Always on Him. Always on Him. Otherwise, the gift of serving will not be a gift. Because who sees Nietling when he comes 2 hours before the time and he locks open the place and he puts everything? No one. It's a gift. You know what? It shines a light on Christ. Because we can have church. And that is why if your gift is not the gift to be most seen. Maybe you're not preaching. Maybe you're not singing. You know what? You are just as valuable in the eyes of Christ. Maybe in the eyes of some people that don't know what they're thinking, they will think you're not that important. But I'm telling you now, there's no difference. As long as light is being shined on Christ Jesus, then we are getting it. And that's what we want to do this year. Amen? Now, I'm going to jump back to the beginning, verse 1, because it actually sets the tone the best, but I would keep the best for last. Think about this. Five of us, five of your friends, right? You're there in, there's a lot of wars going on over the world at the moment. Where's the big one? Pakistan. Afghanistan. Pakistan is also rough, right? Let's take Pakistan. You're there to watch cricket, right? You're with five friends. Lekker, South Africa, you've got your glass of milk, you're going to watch cricket. Now, suddenly out of nowhere, 10 guys comes with guns, they take you, and they got you there in the alley at gunpoint. And you say, mercy, mercy, please have mercy on me. Please. Please have mercy on us. But you know, what you're actually thinking is not, yes, I am wrong. You are supposed to kill me, but please have mercy. Do you get me? Because that's what mercy means, right? Actually, what you want to say is justice. Justice. I'm just here for the cricket. Justice. But in that man's mind, justice is I'm going to blow your head off. So you say mercy in any case. Are you with me? You can't appeal to justice. It won't work. There's not a high court and people there. They'll just blow your brains off. So you say mercy. And if they let you go, you'd say, man, I am grateful. Even though you did not deserve to be at gunpoint, right? Although it's kind of stupid to wander around in Pakistan, but let's say you didn't know. Okay? Now, think about it this way. You're sitting in a court with a good and honest judge. And you have been found guilty, and you were guilty. And you are ready to be sentenced. If you appeal to justice, what will happen to you? You'll go to jail, because that is justice, right? So, you appeal to mercy. If by some other random way, the judge says, you know what, I'll let you go. And you walk out of the jail, sunlight, wind on your face, there's emotions that comes up, right? You're following me. Romans 12 verse 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, is exactly that feeling. Exactly. Walking out of that courtroom and feeling, man, I am so grateful. Because you know why? The first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul just explains how God has forgiven us sinners. And before he gets to the gifts and showing us what we must do, the first 11 chapters is about what God done, right? Now he shifts a gear from 12 on. He tells us how we must live with each other and our enemies. He goes on. By the mercies of God, he is saying, we are like a bunch of people that's coming out of that courtroom. We are super grateful. We are lowly in heart. We are humble. We are so thankful. And from that position, he says, now, let me tell you about how you can live to please that judge, that God. And that is the position in which we walk towards gift. A massive gratitude towards God. Absolute humbleness. Gift is not something that we do to try and get favor with God. We've already got the favor. You can either accept it or reject it. We cannot work for God. Forgiveness, he just gives it. And because of gratefulness, we say, Lord, yes, this year I want to make a difference. How? What can I do? Right? So that's where we're moving. Grateful hearts. Everyone with me? I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Just get my thing going here. Now remember, we're out of that courtroom, right? And then Romans 12 verse 3, Paul is saying, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, now listen to this. This is always so weird for me. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I mean, it sounds like something you chirp someone with, eh? Hey, is the goed vir jou skoene? You know, that kind of thing. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Why? What is he referring to? If you go on, he says, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What faith? What faith is he talking about? Okay, don't think of yourself highly, but think of yourself soberly, each according to the measure of faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Paul is saying, don't think on yourself. Think on Christ. And he's giving us a good tool here. He's saying, if you want to deal with pride in your life, don't think of yourself highly. What must you do? Go meditate on Jesus Christ. And as you meditate on Jesus Christ, you realize you are forgiven, even though you are supposed to go to hell. And what does that do to your pride? What happens when you worship God in that moment? You become thankful. You bless him. You say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. As I soberly measure my sins, my faith is washing, I am nothing. I'm here at your service. Humility is not for us. You don't get humility by condemning yourself. Please. That is paralyzing. We get humility by exalting Christ. We exalt Christ. Things in us shift. You know what? You'll be humble, but you'll be extremely confident. You will stand your ground. You'll know what to do. Because it's not this little thing. No, when you serve God, you get raised up. Amen? Christian humility is not self-condemnation, but Christ exaltation. Amazing. It's the first time, actually, as I studied this, I realized that every time that we go back to our roots, which is short, in short, Romans 1 to 11, how Christ saved us, it cannot but bring a lowliness in heart and the massive fondness and exaltation of Christ. And that is the heart which we must take once we go to the gifts. Thankfulness, humility, loneliness of heart, so that we can serve one another. Because you know what? If you've got the gift of serving, you're going to get tired. Yeah, you know what? Today I don't feel like serving because I actually feel like surfing, you know? But then you know what? Something needs to stir the gift in your heart. Rudy, can you maybe just check the door for us? And then once again, as you go back and you soberly go and think about your faith in Christ, something stirs in your heart and your gift comes alive. You say, Lord, I want to serve because you served me. And you go again, and the whole time we revisit the start almost in terms of the cross and forgiveness. Is everyone with me? So, number one, Christ exalting humility. You can go on. Go on. Go. Yeah, up. 3.1. One more. Slide number 16, please. Right. In Christ exalting humility, we work and share various gifts. Why? Simple. Just look at the list of gifts that's just listed in this scripture. There's a few more other places where we will touch maybe next week. Just look at that. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, leading, contributing, mercy. Just think with common sense for 1 second. With every gift, someone is giving and someone is receiving, right? If you are practicing the gift of serving, that means someone are in need of service, right? If you are practicing your gift of teaching, it must mean that someone knows less than you. Right? Exhorting. If you're building someone up, it means there's someone there with a low self-esteem or a moment of depression, and you are there to practice your gift of exhorting. If you lead, it means someone must follow. Right? The need for humility is massive, so that if you give, you can give without pride. Number one. The need for true humility is massive, so that if you receive, you don't receive with self-pity. Oh, me again. Everyone is always praying for me. You know what? Let them pray. They are practicing their gifts. It's a gift of God. And you know what? If you've got the opportunity to share your gifts, remember that freely you have received from Christ. Freely give and let the light shine on Christ. But I just know the gifts are going to start working in us and through us. Humility is the foundation, so that we can give and receive. Amen. You know, working with people is working with sensitive cases. And it's hard for people, but if we can have a culture of trust and humility, people will run, we will run towards each other for help, for to exercise the gift of God. Because you know what? Those gifts are there for a reason. We need it. But through that, people can also get hurt. Amen. That's why many churches, they say, those are not like the spiritual or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is a bit more where all these rules actually apply to as well and even more. But many churches will say, chuck that. People get hurt here. We're not signing up for this. But you know what? We are signed up for that. So let's do it right. Amen? With lots of love. You know what, if you look at these gifts and you look how God has made us, there's something that comes up that's prevalent. God has made us different for a reason. You know what, when a diverse group of people, very diverse, can harmonize their lives, God is glorified. It only shows to God if that happens. It may be one of the only places, maybe the only place in the whole world where diverse people, really diverse, gets welcomed under one name. That's the church. And that's why when we look around, we've got some work to do, eh? But God's grace is with us. So let us bring our gifts, eh? And let's do it with humility and let's serve each other with that. And then the second point, as I said in the beginning, is when we work, when we bring our bodies to Christ, it's only as a fruit of His mercy. Remember when you read this, if you go home and you read this, remember what happens in Romans 1 to 12. God does all the work. He saves us by grace. It means that we did not deserve it. You cannot exercise gifts to gain favor with God. You know why? Because He loves you already. It is the fruit of a real saved heart. Saved people, they want to work. Does Christian work? Yes. They do the works of God, not the works of man. It's a big thing. People will say, yeah, but you know what? I don't want dead works. To do dead works, don't do dead works. Read the Bible and does what's in the Bible. Then you won't do dead works. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do my will. So just make sure that if you love God and your heart is overflowing, and you want to bless Him with your life, with your body, that you do what's in His Word. Because if you don't believe that, then you will say when it's tough, I'm not Spirit-led. Amen? When you must like repent before the church, and you're like, I'm not Spirit-led to do it. But actually, the Bible says repent. The Word of God is always the more sure covenant. Always. Between thoughts, prophecies, dreams, the Word of God stands. So after 11 chapters of God saving us, bringing us to Himself, and we understand that, we can go and work. Because we know we're not doing it to win His approval. We're doing it because we are approved. And therefore we move as home groups. Therefore we say, listen, how can we get people saved? What can we do? What can we plan? How can we arrange our lives? No, but that doesn't sound right. Arrange? Plan? Yes, we plan. We do everything we can to get the gospel out there. Do you think you can go on a mission to somewhere without planning it? You'll get there at gunpoint. So we move by the Spirit, by His gifts, when He leads us like in the moment, but we also plan our lives in such a way that the gospel is heard. You know, what's that guy that wrote that book, Wicked Church? Steve Hansen. Steve Murrell. He said, this man's got a church of 60,000 people. He says, no more. Not sure. 120. He said that he heard the voice of God on two occasions. Two. The rest of the time, he reads the gospel and he arranges his life, his marriage, his whole church to do what the gospel said. We need a bit more of that. And we can keep the spiritual side. We must. Because it goes together. Are you getting me? Amen. Amen. You know what? When you are saved and you understand the blood of Christ, you understand it, you understand you are washed, and you go and do something, let's say you feel today God wants you to go and share with a few friends. Now you feel for 1 second, is this now, what's the word? Am I not doing dead works here? Am I not trying to gain? Is this not legalistic? I've got 5 friends. And it's like you prayed and God laid 5 names on your heart. Now you feel like, okay, but now I wrote it down and I must make like afsprake. It doesn't feel so spiritual because I must, you know. Now you feel, am I not trying to be legalistic? You know what legalism is? When you do something to gain God's favor. So if you already have God's favor, you know He loves you, then it's not legalistic. You go because you love Him and you obey. If you're not sure, you phone a friend. If you're not sure, after that, you phone your whole cell. But that is how we start to hear the voice of God. Little basic things. Amen? Can I just ask the band to come to the front? What I want to do tonight, I felt two things. I'm just going to say it straight. I felt that on my heart that we must pray for the sick tonight. Again, we prayed last week for a few people, but we're going to speak about the gifts more specifically next week. And then we'll get into a whole lot of things, healing maybe and stuff and how it works. But for tonight, we can still practice the gifts, even though we didn't speak about it. Okay, so, but specifically I felt for the sick. So if you've got like body aches and stuff, let's just do this. Let's come together. And then as people come, if you're in their cell group, please come to the front and just make little circles around them and pray. And then on this side, sick people that side, don't want to mingle. On this side, if God is speaking to you about just stirring the gifts in your heart and really to... that you feel like you've got these gifts, but you're not using it, and it's kind of, it feels like it's rotten. Come to this side, and a whole lot of people are just going to pray for each other here, just for the igniting of the gift in your heart. Because this year, I don't want to leave one weapon in this church unused. If you've got one bullet, we'll fire it. Somewhere in the beginning of the year. Okay? So does everyone understand me? And the band, Murray, if we could just for the beginning, just... like a song for us, just minister, maybe a worship song. And then, please just respond. Bodies, sick bodies, this side, we're going to pray like this, and this side, if you just want your gifts to be stirred. Amen. You can stand.